The weather is only a little different from what we had a month ago, but the longer, cooler nights and that little bit of rain we had brought the fire danger down. It is still fire season here, though. Once fire season closes, controlled burning season opens. So smoke will once again be visible, though hopefully not as thick as it was in the worst days of wildfires in August. We've heard plenty about the benefits of fire on forest ecosystems. Let's hear about the approach and controls of controlled burning. From the Oregon Department of Forestry, we have Doug Graff, who's the Forest Protection Division Chief at ODF. Doug, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Jeffrey, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Can we assume that firefighting units are part of the Forest Protection Division you head?
Absolutely. I reference in the folks who'll do the burning. They shift from during the season fighting fire to working on controlled burns during and outside of fire season. That's a question. Absolutely. Same folks, same professionals, both for agency personnel and contracted personnel who help assist with the prescribed burning as we transition this time of year.
Okay, that's an interesting transition was the only reason I asked the question. So some of the same people involved in the firefighting efforts, I mean, they're used to working in the woods, so these are the same people involved with controlled burns as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You build that expertise over time, and you find that some of the best ways to learn to control fires in the wildfire situation is understand fire behavior and control burns in the off-season outside of fire season. Landowners play a significant role in that effort also in that expertise.
So October is just 2 days away now. I mean, the fire danger is less. We've watched the arrows come down in some cases from the red into the yellow, which is a bit of a change for where we're in the midsummer. But at this point, has fire season actually ended anywhere in Oregon?
No, fire season has not ended. But we're getting closer every day. As I heard the weather report here just prior to the conversation, and that's favorable. Days are getting shorter. So the hope for us who've been weary through the long fire season is that it does shift and we can end fire season sooner than later. But we need those fall rains, of course, and that's where that transition happens.
Give us some projections on where this fire season compares to previous ones.
Really, if you look at Oregon over the last 3 years, unprecedented in the large fire acres, lost to wildfire and the cost of firefighting, extreme conditions over the last 3 years, driven by the drought as a big player. We've all experienced that drought. Really unprecedented in history. We're hoping to see a change there in the drought conditions. El Nino is a weather pattern that's establishing itself, should bring some relief to California, but the predictions for this year, they're not showing much of that moisture that hopefully we'll get in California, not up here in Oregon at this time. So I would expect that, you know, continued challenging fire seasons that like what we've seen in the past 3 years based on the current drought conditions.
So as you transition from fire season into controlled burning season, and again, you've got to have some rain before that happens, I'm going to guess you probably hear a fair number of groans about prescribed burns, particularly from people who this year would remember the miserable smoky days of August.
Yeah, there's a challenge, and it's a fundamental shift here of, you know, how do we balance the wildfire smoke that we've experienced over the past 3 years with the prescribed burning. And I'd say the fundamental difference here is we have the edge on the prescribed burning, right? Under predicted weather conditions and controlled burns, we pick the right days where the mixing is the best. And we operate under the smoke management program, which has a goal of minimizing smoke impacts to communities while maximizing opportunities for prescribed burning. I think generally as we look across Oregon, folks understand living with fire in the West and what that means. And prescribed burning is one of those tools we have to minimize the damage that wildfire costs. But we have to do that responsibly with recognizing, you know, minimizing the impacts to communities. So I think we have a very strong program in Oregon and has been effective over the years.
Is it a fairly narrow window, Doug? I mean, once the controlled burning season window opens, does it shut fairly quickly because you get fuels that are then too wet if the rains continue?
It can. Every year is different and challenging. So that window can narrow very quickly with moisture, with temperatures. So we have a spring opportunity and then a fall opportunity for prescribed burning before that window shuts up, off.
We're talking about controlled burning with Doug Graff of the Oregon Department of Forestry. He's the Forest Protection Division Chief. You can join this discussion on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone across the listening area. You can join by email at jx@jeffnet.org. Given the narrowness of the winter, I'm thinking at some point you're just not going to have your fires burn with much vigor. I mean, you're going to have difficulty keeping a fire lit after a certain amount of precipitation, or is that overstating it given how much drying time many of the fuels in our forests have had now?
You know, every condition is different across the state. What we have is those same professionals we talked about who are in the wildfire scene during fire season. They bring that expertise to know the fuel conditions, the ground conditions, fuel moistures, and when that optimum time to burn is. The window is narrow, though. Some seasons are really good opportunities for prescribed burning. Other seasons, we might only have a few weeks in the fall or the spring that we can be really effective in our, meeting our mission.
So, Doug, what exactly is being burned here? I mean, is there usually some preparation, some collection of materials on the ground, or are we setting fire to private land that has not been prepared? I mean, what are the general circumstances for any controlled burn?
Controlled burns are always prepped in some way or fashion. Much of the restoration landscape burning that's occurring on federal lands is prepped with control lines on the outside edges of the units. And in following forestry operations and preparation for reforestation efforts, some of that, the logging slash is piled. Sometimes it's remained broadcast across the units. There's control lines in some form across all those units.
So it's like the perfect circumstance for a wildfire. You get a chance to know where it's going to be in advance and get the control of the fuels and also get containment lines around it before it even starts.
And control the timing, when the right time to burn is to minimize the smoke impacts to the communities. And that is the fundamental difference, right, between the fires and the prescribed burning, where we can't control that timing. And the weather conditions are not favorable often in terms of where that smoke ends up. And ultimately, as we burn, we're looking at resilient landscapes and fire-adapted communities under the cohesive national strategy in terms of how we address fire conditions. Those are some overarching themes that we're trying to reach a more resilient landscape and protect communities. You see in wildfire situations, the fire tends in some really difficult days to get up in the canopies and really move across the landscape. Where we have treated lands and there's not as much fuel on the ground, that fire tends to drop on the ground where we can get firefighters up into the wildfire and control it. So a lot of benefits for prescribed burning.
Not surprisingly, when we talk about prescribed burning, we get a few phone calls. We have a few on the line for you here. Let's start with Grumpy John in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Doug Graff from the Oregon Department of Forestry.
Thanks so much. I'm wondering why, instead of just using it to create pollution, you folks don't allow people to come in and harvest the wood, either for biomass or for firewood. That's my first question. And secondly, if you're going to have this fire going on, I would like to see you attempt to control the burning with the use of helicopters to create a wind that would push the flames in the direction you want it to go, so that in the event of a real fire, you could bring in a number of helicopters and use the fan of the helicopter downwash to create burned out space around the fires, to use it to blow the fire in the direction that it would prevent it from spreading.
All right, so two-part question. Thanks for that, Grumpy John. So number one, why not haul it away, Doug, and let it be used for biomass or firewood?
Well, That's a great point. And as part of the smoke management program, one of the objectives is to minimize emissions. And the way you minimize emissions is fully utilize the biomass on scene. We've created incentives. The state of Oregon has over time to create incentives to help support that effort. And we do a fair bit of biomass reclamation across the state. That's one of the areas we'd like to see that economy grow in a variety of different ways. That's definitely a viable option. We want to see more of that biomass being utilized for forest products or energy and other resources. In terms of the taking control of the weather, that's a more difficult one. It's really not a viable option in terms of, you know, managing. We can't control with helicopters or otherwise, the overarching flow of airflow at the ground level or at the, you know, meta level.
All right, so the helicopters haven't been used for fanning flames either to or fro, as Grumpy John suggests?
The helicopters are used in prescribed fire and in wildfire. In wildfire, of course, on the suppression side. For prescribed burning, we do use aerial resources such as helicopters to help with the lighting of the fire. And it's important on how you light the fire for a big unit in terms of the way it burns, and helicopters allow for fast ignition, which reduces emissions and can get the smoke up in the mixing heights at high elevations more quickly. So when you do see helicopters being used on prescribed burnings, that's essentially where they're being used to help with that ignition timing and get the smoke up and out.
Controlled burning, our topic on the Jefferson Exchange. Doug Graff, the Oregon Department of Forestry Forest Protection Division Chief, is our guest. You may join our discussion about controlled burning, prescribed burning, if you want to call it that, coming up this autumn once fire season itself actually ends. Phone number for the discussion, 800-838-3760. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Mark in Redding. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Yes, I'm wondering if you or the Forest Service or the BLM, any of the groups that do this, had difficulties with the prescribed burns getting outside of their area while you're doing the burn or getting outside of their area after the smolder all winter and then restart themselves in the spring.
All right, getting outside the lines. Thanks for that, Mark. Appreciate that. Doug, what do you say?
Yeah, Mike, absolutely. There is always a risk of when you place fire on the landscape. That is absolutely the risk, and we have to mitigate that through training, expertise, having the right people on the ground implementing those burns. But I think we have to face that reality, which is anytime there's fire on the landscape, there is a risk. So Forest Service, BLM, Department of Forestry, all folks who operate within that scene need to be responsible in terms of where we put that fire, when we put that fire. We do a very good job in terms of not only the day of lighting the fire, but the follow-up to ensure containment on that prescribed burn. We use technologies such as infrared cameras in the evening to find the heat that's left over in those prescribed burns, and you know, essentially do the same thing we do with wildfire, which is get up there and mop up, get boots on the ground and shovels and mix that dirt to get the heat out of those scenes, you know, in the evenings or the following day. That also reduces emissions, reduces the smoldering. But there is absolutely a risk in that, and we need to do the best we can to minimize the risk of fire on the landscape.
How often does it happen that the weather conditions will change from what you anticipated on the site of a controlled burn?
You know, we're obviously meteorology technology is improving over time, so we continue to get better in that arena. But weather can be unpredictable, and the weather component can challenge us at times with shifting winds. So it certainly can happen. But it's part of that risk factor. We're definitely minimizing that over time with new technologies and as we grow in our expertise in the West of implementing prescribed burns.
All right, another call here from Cynthia in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking controlled and prescribed burns with Doug Graff of the Oregon Department of Forestry.
Yes, thank you. I was pleased to hear that you do feel that thinning is a viable option and would like to see more of that rather than burning, especially as those resources are basically, you know, wasted if they're burned in controlled burns. But I understand that sometimes one option is better than the other. But what I'm interested in hearing is what you feel needs to happen to make more thinning, you know, be the first choice, or what's in the way from that moving forward. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call, Cynthia.
So, Cynthia, I'm assuming what referencing really is on the federal lands. You know, private lands tend to be more actively managed. But on federal lands in the West, we've certainly been challenged with the ability to have active management on those landscapes. Example, as you mentioned, was thinning. And, you know, the answer for our future, if we're going to change the story here to move towards more sustainable and resilient forest landscapes in the West, we need to be collaborative about our approach and be realistic about how we look at the landscape and manage the landscape. And I think it's through, at least in Oregon, you'll find the collaborative effort, the collaboratives are, and really some of that started in California and the Quincy Library Group in the 90s, where you see at the local level communities coming together to find solutions to protect our greatest resources. You know, folks move out west and have a passion and love for the West because of the natural resources that we have. And we have to be responsible in our management of these resources, and it starts at the local level with collaboratives. We're seeing great success with that in Oregon through the pace and scale of restoration on federal grounds. And on the private lands, you know, maintaining and supporting the state laws around sustainable forest management. We do that well in Oregon through the Forest Practices Act. You have a similar act in California. And, you know, strong legislative leadership to ensure that we have a policy framework to move forward. So I see collaboration as the direction forward to effect change in a positive way.
Doug, how much land, I mean, I know state forestry covers private BLM and state land. How much land is burned through the controlled burning program every year in Oregon?
In Oregon, our 10-year average sits around 160,000 acres of controlled burn. And this year, wildfires consumed approximately 570,000 acres. Right. Across the landscape in Oregon.
How would you like to see the numbers move on controlled burns? Would you like to see more of them?
Absolutely. You know, it's a good question. I'm drawn to my statement as I look at my quote on the press release.
That was a bit of a splash, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm like, boy, you know, at best that sounds cavalier. As a raw read, at worst, it sounds arrogant. And fundamentally, you know, doubling the acres is arbitrary. The truth of the matter, really the intent where I wanted to get to is we need to look long-term, and there is a need where there are opportunities to increase burning. We need to deliberate on those and take advantage of that opportunity. There's tremendous value in prescribed burning across the landscape for resilient habitats, but we have to do that responsible, maintaining the air quality. And I think in Oregon, we do that very well through the smoke management program. It's been there since the early 70s, comes out of the Clean Air and Clean Water Acts in the early 70s, and we've got good legislation around that to be successful.
All right, so I hate to hesitate to use the term aggressive, but you'd like to be a little more assertive, it sounds like, in using controlled burns.
I think collectively we're missing opportunities to utilize controlled burns to really sustain the treasures we have, which is our natural resources in the West. So there are opportunities there. I would highlight that, and we've talked about some of these issues, is prescribed burning is not the only answer out there, right? There's a lot of work to be done to sustain that effort. But prescribed burning is one tool that's available to us that I think we should look at.
You know, I asked for conditions and when in the year. I'm curious about when in the day prescribed burns tend to happen, if there's a sweet spot.
Again, depends on the location and the current weather conditions, the size of the burn. So, very localized in terms of, you know, when the right timing is.
Now, as far as prepping the land, is that done by the landowner? Is it done by ODF at the request of the landowner? I'm just curious about just how the whole setup is done.
Yeah, so the 200,000 acres that we burned last year, really this is happening on federal land, and it's their responsibility, or it's happening on private land, and it's their responsibility to prep and manage and implement the prescribed burn. Look at Oregon Department of Forestry as the regulator in this process. We also support the landowner to meet their objectives with technical assistance, and we provide the forecast, the meteorological forecast, that really is the trigger point of this is a good day to burn or nope, we're not going to be able to burn today because of the risk of putting smoke into the communities.
Doug, just shooting from the hip, how soon do you think that you might be able to start controlled burns in Oregon?
Real soon. It shifts across the state. We should see some opportunities opening up here in the east, and that moves across the state to the west.
All right, Doug Graff is the Oregon Department of Forestry, ODF, Forest Protection Division Chief. We've been talking about open burning. Doug, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me, sir.
All right.
And thanks to all the callers and interest on the topic.
All right, take care.